Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Tatino, and of course you on this Friday afternoon, Friday after preseason game number four, and a lot happening here at the facility because, as we know, the team has to shave their roster down to 53. Jerry Reese and head coach Tom Coughlin and the coaching staff here going to have to make some very difficult decisions moving forward. So obviously is it 4 o'clock or
by 4 o'clock tomorrow?
4 o'clock on Saturday. That's right.
Yeah, and then the 10-member practice squad can begin to take shape beginning Sunday at 1 p.m. It's 21 hours after the cuts are announced. You can start signing your practice squad people, and so, you know, some of the guys who will be on the list on Saturday may wind up coming back the next day.
Right, if they pass through waivers.
Yes.
Right. So so we welcome you in. I'm sure Giants fans, after watching preseason game number four, has a lot of questions. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. That's how you do it. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. But first and foremost, Paul, you were there. You were in New England. You saw it. You know a lot of these guys that are on the bubble. Your thoughts on the players who stood out last night?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting when you looked at what the Giants did. They certainly improved some of their rushing defense in the interior a little bit, I thought. I thought that in some ways the play of Landon Collins was better than it has been the first couple of games during the course of the preseason. That was better. I thought that offensively, the pass protection of the offensive line continues to show that it's been rather adequate during the course of August. You know, that's a good thing. Run blocking still needs some work. Obviously, when you look at the rushing numbers, you can tell that. It's not something that I need to describe to you. But I think that the pass protection certainly, was pretty good last night. I thought Ryan Nassib threw the ball pretty well for the most part. Also showed the continued mobility and pretty good decision-making, too, in terms of when to tuck the ball away. The running backs didn't get much of a chance to do much. I thought that Jeremy Davis really helped himself last night. Had a really nice grab along the sideline. It was a 40-yard catch, the longest pass play of the Giants preseason. James Jones caught a few more passes. Cunningham caught another one. So, you know, Darkwell ran hard, as he usually does. Didn't get a lot of opportunities, but he ran well. Two sacks out of George Selvey, the veteran defensive end, in the first half. I think the thing that's really difficult, folks, when you try to pin grades and you try to sway your opinion dramatically in one way or another about a specific player in preseason game number four, you have to remember a few things. They're still not getting a lot of snaps, and so their ability to set up their opponent is not there. And then the other thing is they're going against, a lot of times, guys who are that second and third level of the roster, you know? And that can be very difficult and very deceiving, too, because you say to yourself, well, look, this guy had a great performance in preseason game number four. Why didn't we see that the first few preseason games? Well, maybe in preseason game number four, he truly was going up against also-rans from the other team. So that's what sometimes makes things difficult and deceiving when you're looking at the actual performance in a capsule of what somebody did in the fourth preseason game. Now, that's a long-winded answer, but I tried to give you a very wide-scoping, umbrella-type viewpoint of what happened last night.
All right, well, let's talk about some standouts. Landon Collins was a standout last night. Were you happy with what you saw?
Yeah, I was. I thought he had a couple of good hits. Looked like he played very much with confidence and assertiveness. Again, it's a learning process for this rookie. You know, he's coming along, and opening day is just a week or so away against the Cowboys, so it's a good time for him to start getting better.
Stevie Brown, interception last night.
Hey, Stevie, how about that? And he's wearing 39 right now, but
got
I think
his number, is he going to get his number
I
back?
I think he's going to get 27 back.
What is he going to have to do for it? Do we know?
Mike L. Thompson, the rookie safety from Texas, who's on injured reserve, has 27, and my little birdies are telling me that he's willing to give it up, but Stevie's going to have to make a phone call to get it. So the rookie's going to want a little something. I'm not sure what it is, but I think Stevie's going to get the 27. I love the fact that last night's pick by Stevie was a typical Stevie Brown pick. In the right place at the right time, tip ball, and there's the smarts of the veteran. Knowing where to be, makes the pick, and helps save the game because the Giants wound up with two turnovers on defense in the final 4 minutes of the game.
Right, and let's talk about the defensive ends, George Selvey and Kerry Wynn.
I thought that Selvey, we mentioned the two sacks a few moments ago, really nice to see him come back off some inactivity the week before. Remember, you know, he had missed a couple of practices. So that was really good to see, and he's primed to go. Kerry Wynn got the start last night. You know, Robert Ayers was out of the lineup. So, you know, Wynn got a little extra reps with the first team guys. And once again, shows that he is a maturing young player who can be counted on. Kerry Wynn has done nothing in this preseason or training camp, Anita, to take any confidence away from me. I believe he's the real deal. I felt that all offseason. I still believe it.
And last but not least, wide receiver Jeremy Davis. We know there's a big battle going on right now for are you in agreement with Lance and I that it will be six?
You know, it's going to be six. And there are some folks now the last couple of days who are saying to me, how about you campaign for seven? And I say, I don't know how you can keep seven. I still think it's got to be six. But you know what? These receivers are good. Giants got good receivers, Anita. Mm-hmm. I've never seen so many. I mean, since the 2007 season, they got that many. Jeremy Davis is a heck of a player. He's good. He's really good. And he fights and he blocks. And he doesn't always follow through on his block. He's a rookie. He's still got to learn some things like technique. But he gets in there. He's after it. Good player.
Jeff Schwartz, John Jerry, rotating right guard, right tackle as well. So if the NFL regular season game one was to start tomorrow, how do you think the five offensive linemen would look?
I think Jeff Schwartz would be a starter. He'd been telling us the last couple of weeks that was his goal. I think he achieved it. Tom Coughlin would only say to us that, you know, two of the three guys between Jerry Newhouse and Schwartz are going to start. He was not even sure yesterday when we talked to him before the game about where those positions will line up. It's clear to me if Newhouse starts, he's got to be a tackle. He's not a guard. So that would mean probably, in my guess, it would be Schwartz and Newhouse. But you could certainly make an argument for Schwartz at tackle and Jerry at guard. I just want to say one thing here. It throws a little bit of a fly into your soup. But Tom Coughlin himself told us this. God's competing against folks on the waiver wire. And I still think someone's going to be here. And if it's not in the next 24 hours or so, it could be in the next week. Tom has said that too often to us not to believe that it's a real possibility.
Fly in my soup.
I'm sorry?
Fly in
it's
my
lunchtime. I kind of ruined it for you, didn't
fly
I?
Fly in my soup. Anyway, before we do start taking the calls, 201-939-4513. I know a lot of Giants fans want to get on board. A lot of questions, again, is the next 48 hours. Actually, 24, right? It's already, what is it?
It's already 12 o'clock.
A little over 24 hours. Some tough decisions that obviously are going to have to be made, not only with the Giants, but across the league in general, shaving their rosters down to 53. But let's talk about Jason Pierre-Paul. I know that Jerry Reese and John Mara had made comments yesterday pregame that reports are that JPP is going to visit the facility sometime this coming week, get a chance to look and see just how extensive the injury is to his hand, get a physical, possibly maybe a workout, see what he's able to do.
That's step one.
Right.
Got to check him out.
Right.
And Jerry Reese and John Mara both talked to Bob Papa before the game yesterday, before the telecast, and told him that the reps from JPP had been in touch with them and said that Jason would be coming up this week. Now, we have no more specifics than that. All right, let's make this very clear, folks. This is only step one in the process. The Giants medical staff is going to have an opportunity to look at JPP. This is going to be a very delicate and long process because there are many steps to actually getting him on the field, as we both well know.
Here are some tweets. Mind you, not only can you reach us via phone, but also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. I would rather only keep six receivers to make space for Darkwa. Kid has earned a spot on this roster. Also, this is from A.J. Marshall, says Giants defense played their best game of the preseason last night. Like what I saw from the defensive line, secondary, and linebackers.
Well, let's address the running back thing first, Anita. You've had a lot of chances to see these guys at camp, and Akeem Hunt certainly made a good impression on these guys, these coaches. Very quick, was good in the return game also, mm-hmm. And then came up with a hammy last week. And so he passed through waivers. Nobody claimed him. I don't think we've had a chance to talk since then. The Giants have subsequently put him on the injured reserve list.
Right.
So he's out for the season as a rookie. With the obvious potential of coming back next year and trying to remake the team. One would think that that means Orleans Darkwa is the fourth running back on the roster and that he'll stick. One would think, based on what the current situation is. So good news for the fan who wants Darkwa.
All right, let's head out to our phone lines. We kick it off with Timothy in New Jersey. Timothy, you're first up today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Hi. I got a question for you. Will Jeremy Davis, Jerome Cunningham, Bobby Hart, and Stevie Brown make the roster?
Timothy, thanks for the phone call. Paul?
One at a time. Let's see.
Stevie Brown?
Stevie Brown.
Bobby Hart?
I would think so, yes, Stevie Brown. Bobby Hart, hey, I'll tell you what. This is a guy who came off the field in the Jets game, had a leg injury, and looked like he was in a lot of pain at the time. But, boy, did he bounce back. He was able to actually do some things at practice this past week. And I don't know if you're able to see, Anita, sometimes it's hard to watch on television, but when he was in there in the second half and in the fourth quarter specifically last night, he was getting after it, especially in the run-blocking part of his game. I think this kid's going to be around. You also mentioned Cunningham. That's a very difficult question to answer because I don't know how many tight ends the Giants are going to keep. So I don't know that I'm sold on that one yet. I probably would not keep Cunningham on my 53, but that's just me.
But also, what happened with Fells last night?
Fells had injured his shoulder, came out of the game, and then went back in at the very end of the game. He did return. So I don't think that's an issue to really be concerned with. And there was one other player you mentioned. Was it Jeremy Davis, he said, was the first guy he mentioned, and we already talked about him. I would find it very hard if it was me to cut Jeremy Davis. I would actually find it nearly impossible to do so. But I have not talked to Jerry Reese about that.
Again, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Anthony. He says, Davis has huge ceiling and just can't teach toughness, which is major respect. Davis and Washington need to stay.
Well, you know, I have to say, you know that Washington was unable to put any more tape on his resume last night. He was a late scratch on the sidelines in dress clothes. He had a shoulder. And so, you know, that was unfortunate. So his resume will have to speak for itself based on what he did last year, what he did in the offseason, and what he did during the first three preseason games. That was the benefit of, I think, James Jones playing last night because he did nothing but help himself with the couple of passes he caught. One was a really nice one, too, right along the ground. Just got it right before it touched the field turf. And Jeremy Davis, who, again, did nothing to hurt himself, only helped himself by playing last night. Anita, I think the one thing that's interesting that a lot of times fans don't understand, and I'm not trying to be, sarcastic, but in the preseason, you know, when coach says, you need to watch guys play, I need to find out more, as many guys as play themselves onto a team, because they do really good things. Some guys play themselves off a team because they get out there and they just don't look very good. The point is, a player needs to have an opportunity to show whether he can or cannot do the job. And I think sometimes people get very discouraged when in the preseason they see somebody who's not doing so well and they're like, oh, you know, the player's not very good or the team clearly needs to improve at this position. Well, the fact of the matter is, it may just be a fact-finding mission by the coach to find out who needs to be weeded out because they can't do the job. You follow?
Right.
A lot of people don't get that. And I think that's sometimes, you know, if you look at it just one-sided, you lose sight of the fact that some guys are out there just to prove a point and to see what they can or cannot do.
Let's go to Abdul calling in from Minneapolis. Abdul, welcome in.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi.
One quick statement. I just want to say that I'm kind of bummed that we cut Weatherford But, you know, because he was a great Giant for the time he spent here.
Just FYI, Abdul, just FYI, Giants have not made a statement yet. So
I just read about it. It's all over the internet.
I understand. I understand, but okay. We're here at the facility, and Giants have not made a statement yet. So
we'll know when they do.
We'll when the Giants make a statement, then we can talk about it. But they haven't made a statement.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, guys. All right. I have a little conspiracy theory that I cooked up last night with one of my friends. Eli is kind of holding off on signing with the Giants because Reese and Coughlin are could be considered lame ducks. Just kind of waiting to see what happens next year. You think that's any possibility? Because right now,
zero.
The market,
let me
the
stop you. Set. No, let me stop you right there. Zero.
Okay.
Zero. I still believe that contract will be done before they kick it off against the Cowboys.
Okay, because my point, my friend was trying to convince me this, because he said the market's already set. Like, you know, if we know the money's there, he's kind of been slotted as a first round draft pick. Like, we know what the money is. So what's taking so long to make it go? Because
there are a variety of things that could delay this. It could be the balance of where it's going to be placed. It could be the fact that the Giants are still trying to get the JPP thing squared away. It could be the fact that, let's face it, this roster is in a lot of flux, and they've got a lot more pressing issues that are going to have to get done. They know, the Giants know, and Eli's people know really where this is going to land. There's not a lot of smoke here. Honestly.
Right.
All right.
And one other question. One more prediction. That by the end of the year, Unga and Hart will be starting. So.
Okay. How about that? Thanks for the call.
That's got to make you happy. You've got a man crush on Unga.
He is quite a story. But you know what? I have to tell you, Anita. The hard part, and every preseason we always find one of these guys who just, like, makes you feel good because he's got a shot to fulfill his dream, and it looks like he's going to be close, and you just don't know, and you're, like, you're pulling for him, you're rooting for him. And ultimately, the flashes that a guy shows in preseason aren't the truest indicator of what he is as a player. The college tape even is more of an indicator than the preseason because, as we've discussed, in the preseason, a lot of times you're going up against fourth strings from other guys, and sometimes it's not fair to judge. So I will tell you this. Unga has done some very good things in training camp, some very good things at practice, some very good things in the game, and then in other cases he's also looked like he's got a lot to learn and a lot to improve on. And so it's going to be up to the Giants staff to decide, is there enough that needs to be improved on where they may be better off trying to put him on the practice squad? Or is he close enough to being ready as an NFL player that he belongs on the 53? That's a hard decision to make.
And I think there's going to be quite a few.
Difficult
decisions to make. Let's go to Dallas. Actually, New York. Vic in New York wants to talk about Dallas. Vic, welcome in.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the Dallas game. Do you think right now, as it stands, the Giant defense is settled enough that they could at least be competitive in that game? Because right now, I don't see it. Yes, they played well last night against the second team, offense, and Ryan Lindley, who is not a good quarterback. But I'm very concerned about that first game being, a pretty ugly game.
I tell you what, I'm going to throw the question back at you. Do you know who the starting 11 are opening day against Dallas now on defense?
That's another problem. Do we know who we figure Landon Collins will be one safety. Who's the other safety?
Right now, today, I can't tell you that. I know Cooper Taylor was the other night. But I can't tell you he's starting against Dallas right now because it's still in the state of flux. Tom Coughlin hasn't,
everything is so.
All right, so I guess what I'm telling you, Vic,
in the season, the Giant defense, which is such in a state of flux, will be the Achilles heel of the team. And I figured going into the season, the Giants were probably an 8-8, 9-7 team. Now I'm looking more like maybe 8-8, 7-9, God forbid 6-10. But that defense is just too many question marks. Who's your slot corner? Who's rushing the passer? You know, Jameel McClain, he's a solid middle linebacker, but nothing spectacular.
Well, you just mentioned McClain, I'd be more inclined to answer that question next week, to be honest with you, whether it's Monday or Wednesday, and then let's see what the matchups look like based on what we believe the starting lineup to be. I just don't know what the starting 11 is going to be right now. There are some health issues and there are some competition issues. And I think, you know, when the Giants get back to practice, you know, on Monday, we'll probably have a better idea, and we may not know really until Wednesday who the starting 11 are. Then that's a better question to answer. But right now, it's just difficult.
Okay, and one more thing. Can somebody please give DeMontre Moore a new brain? I mean, he had the trifecta last night with the personal foul penalties. A really bad late hit, almost spearing the guy, late hit on the quarterback, and the other one going to the quarterback's knees. It's like he's got talent, but he's so frustrating a player to watch because you see he has talent, but he has no discipline.
I think DeMontre, if you listen to our postgame show last night on WFAN, he told me that he knew he had made a couple of mistakes, and certainly he wished he had had them back. On one of the penalties, I was told by someone who saw the replay, he was actually pushed into the player by one of the Patriots. And so it may not have been as bad a penalty as you think it was. But DeMontre does understand that he's got to clean up some things. He knows that. At least he's admitting to it. So I appreciate it.
You see his talent, but this is not the first time. It's not his first transgression.
I understand what you're saying.
He seems to lose focus.
Well, he's going to be counted on a lot this year, so they need him to make sure things are all okay. I thank you for the call, Vic. Take care.
This is something that I talked about with Lance yesterday, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on, because I have concerns for this defense like our caller Vic just had, and that's why I feel the need that this offense really needs to be, and I'll use the word epic. I feel like this offense needs to be epic this season for the Giants to win some ball games. I'm looking at like anywhere between 28 to 35 points they need to put on the board. Because there's so many question marks on the defensive side of the ball. Do you agree or disagree with that, Paul?
Well, they averaged, what, about 26 a game last year. I think they're going to have to average about 28 or game or so this year. They will have to be at peak efficiency offensively in order for them to get where they want to go, at least based on what we know today. Things may change, again, over the course of the next few weeks. Maybe they'll have a bunch of guys who dramatically improve, who really seem to, get a grasp on what's going on quickly and produce. But I don't think there's any doubt at this point. The offense is going to have to be the unit that drives this team. So I do agree. I don't know if they got to score 35 a game. But yeah, they better be really good.
Which leads me to the question in regard to Victor Cruz. I know that's been a really hot topic in regard to his availability for regular season game one against the Dallas Cowboys. What's your gut telling you?
My gut tells me that they don't know. That's what my gut tells me. My gut tells me that no decisions have been made on Victor Cruz. I know Victor has a lot of confidence in his ability to get out there, and I know that Victor himself has said this, that he anticipates getting out there for some practices leading into the Cowboys game, and that he was resigned to the fact he would not play in a preseason game, and that was okay with him. I've also talked to Eli about it, and Eli has said that he believes he and Victor know each other well enough that they'll be able to function against the Cowboys without any practices. However, I think it is certainly realistic to expect there'll be some rust there and some timing issues, and they won't be clicking quite as perfectly as you would like at the beginning of the season.
Were you surprised that Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. did not play last night?
I was, only in that initially going in, there was no indication that they would sit. And then when they came out right before this national anthem, I saw Eli was in sneakers. I was on the sideline, so I got up on the headset to the booth, and I said, hey, guys, Eli's in sneakers. I don't think he's playing. And so, of course, that's what happened. Right after the first set of downs, I finally was able to locate Beckham on the bench, and I said, guys, guess what? We got to do this again. Beckham is in sneakers. He's not playing either. So that did catch us by surprise. Tom said after the game that he thought they had both seen enough action and done enough of good things that he didn't need to see any more. And quite honestly, extra snaps for Nassib. And Anita, he's had a good camp. Nassib is good.
Let's talk about some of the tweets that are coming in for us. Hashtag Giants chat. This is from Big Dash 07088. Unga has done more in this preseason than Herzlick has done in 4 years. Also, Unga seems to have more upside. So some Unga fans out there. This is from Brian. Yes, they will compete with Dallas. Dallas has issues of their own on defense. The scoreboard will be lit up in this one. Here's Mark. He says, is Andre Williams performing as expected? When do we really expect to see Cruz back?
Well, again, I don't think anybody truly has an answer to that one. You know, I really don't, because ultimately, as you know, Anita, we've talked about this 100 times before, the coaching staff and the players defer to the medical staff here. And ultimately, they've got to give him the green light to go. Do I think Dallas is possible? Absolutely, I do. But I'm not going any further than saying that.
P-Dot, can you please list our top linebackers right now? Your opinion, what you think will happen.
Wow. Well, Tom Coughlin says he's optimistic about Beeson being ready for Dallas, but again, has deferred and said, I don't control the medical staff. So he's optimistic. So let's assume for a second that Beeson's there in the middle. We know Kennard's on the strong side, and again, he had a sack last night against the people who started for the Patriots. And Thomas is going to be on the other side. Thomas gets around a lot. He's very athletic. He's very quick. Made a couple of plays again last night. But then there are other times where he seems to not necessarily make an impact. So that's one of those guys. Thomas is one of those guys, Anita, that I want to see more of over the course of a game, because I don't know that I've seen enough of a sample size. There are a lot of flashes I'm seeing out of him, but I don't know if I've seen enough of a sample size yet that says to me, well, yeah, you know, he's terrific. I don't know yet. I think I still need to see some more.
All right, let's continue with our calls. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. It's going to be very interesting 24 hours plus in regard to the Giants shaving down that 53-man roster and then getting ready for Dallas, which is that Sunday night game under the bright lights, primetime television, which is going to be exciting. Let's go to line two. Christian, calling in from New York. Christian, welcome.
Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about the offense. Yesterday, someone called in kind of concerned that it took 14 plays to get to the end zone against the Jets. But to me, that seems like a good idea because, you know, not only are you getting your touchdown, but, you know, you're keeping your defense off the field. And I know someone called in and said, you know, that's going to be like what Dallas did last year. But, I mean, they really relied on the run game to do that. But, you know, we're going to mix it up to do that. I mean, it's still the same thing. You're going to have 5 to 8 minute drives, and, you know, it's going to take a while, yeah. But you're setting yourself up for some nice convertible third downs and keeping your defense off the field.
Understood.
So, I mean, that's a win-win.
You know me about the power running game. That's really not something that I'm going to shy away from. It's something that I always want to get. We do have breaking information for you, official confirmation from the Giants that they have made a transaction. So we're going to let you go, and I thank you so much for calling. Steve Weatherford has been released. The veteran punter who came over from the Jets as a free agent a few years ago has, in fact, been released. And the Giants have traded a conditional seventh-round draft pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Brad Wing. And so we will see how the Giants move forward with Brad Wing, who, out of LSU, was a teammate of Odell Beckham Jr. With the Tigers, also Reuben Randall as well. Let's see, his numbers last year, 61 punts with the Steelers, 43.7-yard average, and had 20 of his 61 punts inside the 20-yard line. Net average was 38.8. In any event, he's an Aussie, one of those Australian kickers who have come over in recent years. So perhaps he'll have an accent. I don't know.
This is bittersweet for me because Steve Weatherford has such an infectious personality. And really was so much fun to cover here at the Giants. Your thoughts on why this move was made, Paul?
Well, I think the production, and certainly, Tom Coughlin has talked about it the last couple of weeks during the preseason when he had Robert Malone here with Weatherford in a punting competition, that he needed to see more consistency. He needed to see more hang time. And, in fact, he said a lot of times the punts aren't going exactly where we wanted them to. Apparently they were a bit wild and erratic with some of their kicks. And so Malone just got cut the other day, so he lost to Weatherford, and now Weatherford has lost to somebody on the outside, which, again, has been talked about. Coach has said, you must understand, you're not only competing against the guys on the roster, you're competing against guys on other teams, too, who may be available. That's what's happened here.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line four. Candido is joining us. Candido, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I had a question. Considering that the football is the ultimate team sport, and we seem like there's every single area of our team is in some state of flux, how long do you think it's going to take game-wise for them to gel together as a team? And I'm very concerned about a very slow start. And, where do you guys see us? How do you guys see us starting out the first eight games of the season, considering all these question marks that we have all over the place?
Well, I think what you have to understand before you think about anything else is the continuity of setting an offensive and defensive lineup and then understanding who your special teams guys are going to be is something that they haven't had the luxury of doing during the course of this preseason. We all know that, and that has worked against them.
Right.
So I think what we have to be careful about judging is where does this team stand talent-wise when they haven't had the benefit of any type of blending? When they have that, and usually that takes 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Right.
Will that be enough to get them to maximum efficiency? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if the coach knows the answer to that. So I think your question is valid, but I think it's like hitting the lottery. I mean, in some ways, chemistry can come along real quickly. Remember the 2007 season when Spags had, come in here. He's a new defensive coordinator, and it took them like 2.5 games. And then all of a sudden, like that, it was done. And from that point forward, that defense was playoff caliber like that. And it all started with that goal line stand against the Redskins.
Right, but
no one could have predicted that.
Amount of talent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I'm not going to tell you that that's this team because it's not. My only point I'm making to you is that the gelling and the chemistry sometimes is a very mysterious element. That's all I'm saying. And I'm 33 years around here, I can't tell you when that's going to happen either.
Oh, okay. Well, you would know best, Paul.
I appreciate that, but I don't know. That's the problem.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's my big concern, and I'm sure a lot of Giants
it's legit.
Fans also.
It's legit.
Okay. Candida, thank you so much for the phone call. Let's go to line one. Joe's calling on from PA. Joe, I know you want to talk about the kickers. We can finally do so. The Giants have announced Steve Weatherford has been cut, but, however, they have traded to bring in Wing.
Brad Wing.
There you go.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was hearing that, you know what I mean? And first, I want to say, hey, I think we're doing better there last night there with the injuries. There were a couple little things, the way it sounds, but nothing that big. So, and I'm really happy with the nucleus that he's young guys mixing in with the veterans. These last two drafts, last year and this year, I think all our draft picks are going to make it this year, don't you think, Paul?
I think there's certainly a really good chance of that. Of course, when you say that, remember Michael Thompson is already on injured reserve. So, if you consider the fact that he's not out, that he's on IR, yes, there's a chance. Now, are they all going to be active on the 53? That's impossible now because Thompson's on injured reserve. But is it possible that they're all under Giants' rights or under the Giants' watch? Yeah, that could absolutely happen.
Yeah, and I was really happy, too, with the special teams played a lot better last night, the punts and the field goal kickoff. Boy, I'll tell you what, he was very good last night, our field goal kicker.
Boswell hit 4 of 4. His longest was like 41 or 42, so he didn't have to hit any bombs. But he kicked the ball well. His kickoffs were good, too.
Yeah, I'm very, very impressed with that. And with Anita was talking about, you know what I mean? I think she's thinking of like the Saints a couple years ago that they had scored 30 points a game or 40 points a game, and then their defense was optimistic there, and they had a lot of turnovers a few years ago. And but I think we could do it with our special teams and our defense like that to keep us in some of these games there. I keep referring to like the Eagles last year, how many turnovers their specialty teams had for touchdowns. So that's about all. And I wanted to say, I think your buddy Tebow's going to make the third-string quarterback Eagles.
You had to do this.
Did you watch the game last night?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I catch it here, and I watch the Giants. I was able to get the Giants. I got them online, and I watch the Eagles. I always have to watch the Eagles because I'm rooting against them here locally, you know.
Pretty. Thank you for your phone call, by the way. But Paul, I was so excited. Rashid Bailey is a wide receiver that was invited on, and it's funny because I actually about before we came in here, I was having a conversation with Jerry Reese because I was like, Jerry, go look at this guy. His name is Rashid Bailey. You got to bring him in. Anyway, he ended up in with the Eagles, and so I pulled Jerry aside. I said, "Did you see the touchdown with Tebow last night? It was to Rashid Bailey."
Oh.
And I said, "But I don't. You know what? Unfortunately, I don't because the Eagles have so much depth at the wide receiver position. I just don't think he's going to make the team." But I was so excited because not only did Tebow throw a touchdown pass, but he threw it to Rashid Bailey. So I was pretty excited about it. Yes, I think Tebow did outperform Matt Barkley last night for that QB3, which is interesting because it leads to a conversation I was listening to this morning on the radio, and that is, you know, how many teams now keep three quarterbacks on their roster? Not many.
Very few.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is simply because of the cap, and so much is spent on the starting quarterback. You don't have very much money to spend on the others. And then the other thing is, quite honestly, everybody needs that extra defensive back. Everybody needs that extra pass rusher. Everybody needs that extra offensive lineman. I mean, the third quarterback, look, when we were growing up, Anita, the third quarterback usually held the clipboard and didn't do a whole lot anyway.
Right.
So
last resort.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Usually. So, anyway.
Anyway, so I was really excited for Tim Tebow. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to line 3. Jerome is calling in from North Carolina. Jerome, welcome.
Hey, I got to call. I just want to say how much I love y'all guys. I love the info that y'all give.
Thank you.
I'm down here in North Carolina. I don't hear a lot. But my biggest question is with BC on defense, you know, he stay injured so much. Is it possible that they'll bring him in on long, you know, third and long versus, you know, playing him so much that way we can keep him more active and, you know, able to go the whole season?
You want to limit Beeson's snaps to increase his durability. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'll tell you what. If the Giants could be sure that John Beeson would give them 16 games and that it took getting him off the field for 10 or 12 snaps a game, I think they would do it because they really understand that John Beeson is the heart and soul. He's one of the co-captains on this team, or at least he was last year. They didn't do the vote yet this season. And they would very much like to have him on the field for 16. So I think that's something that's certainly open in their minds, depending upon substitution packages and who else they think could possibly fill certain roles. I don't think that's out of the question. So I appreciate the thought, and I'd say it's possible.
And also, I just want to ask you, it doesn't have to do reflect with the season, but I was wondering about Paul Banks, and I was wondering why he hasn't really been in the top ratings of the Hall of Fame.
Well, Carl Banks, I believe.
Thank you.
I think Carl was in one Pro Bowl. I don't think he made two. I think he made one. He was the best defensive player on the field in Super Bowl 21 in Pasadena. You know, but they don't give out like a defensive MVP for the Super Bowl. There's only a game MVP. So Carl has some outstanding credentials. But when you look at the Hall of Fame and whether or not you think the Pro Bowl is a popularity contest or not, usually the guys in the Hall of Fame have handfuls and then some. You know, you don't see any guys in the Hall of Fame that only made one or two Pro Bowls. I mean, even Jesse Armstead made five Pro Bowls. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Brad Van Pelt, who was here many years ago back in the 70s, went to five Pro Bowls. He's not in the Hall of Fame. So you have to understand that there's I don't want to say there's a prerequisite, but you better have a ton of Pro Bowls in your pocket before Canton even starts talking about you. Is that fair?
If you say so.
Okay.
Let's look at some of the tweets that are coming in as well. Hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Dan. He wants to know, is Jerome Cunningham going to make the 53-man roster?
We talked about him. I think he's going to be one of those guys they keep scratching their heads about down to the wire.
This is from EZE, 2015 MVP. How do you feel about the front seven as a whole? Also, who do you think starts opposite Landon Collins?
You know, I think by the time they get into the season, I think Stevie Brown at some point will take that job opposite Collins. I don't necessarily know if he's going to have it in week one, week two, week three. He does need some time yet to get involved into the system. I mean, remember, he doesn't even know Spags
right.
until he got here.
Right.
He talked to him a little bit in the offseason,
and
but that's it.
He did say that it's not that it's not that this defense is difficult for him to learn. It's the jargon.
Right.
It's the jargon that
absolutely
that is difficult for him. It's learning a language, you know, if you know.
And you can't have any miscommunications back there or you'll pay for it.
Right.
So they need to know what they're saying to each other. Remember that Stevie is more of a ball hawking safety. So that does complement Collins well.
It does.
It would seem that they would be a good fit. Now, this all presupposes now that Stevie's able to wrestle the job away from Cooper Taylor, who right now was the starting safety last night. You know, I don't know how long that lasts. If Cooper Taylor really plays lights out, then coach isn't going to take it away from him. Remember, this is all about what you earn. If you earn it, you get to keep it.
201-939-4513. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Friday afternoon, getting you ready. Hey, it's Labor Day.
How'd that happen?
I know.
This summer went too fast.
Did we really even have a summer? Like, how many hot days did we have? Like, maybe five? So are you doing anything this weekend, by the way?
Working a ton.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. It's what we do.
Yeah, it is. It is what we do. Let's go to line two. John is calling in. He wants to talk about the Cowboys game. John, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this Cowboys game this weekend.
Next weekend.
Sorry.
That's all right. We knew what you meant.
He already ripped the pages off his calendar. He's in trouble. Glue him back on.
Weekend game. what are you guys thinking about this game?
In terms of the matchup? Well, we're going to let you go, and thank you for the call. Here's one thing that I do know, Anita, from being around so long and being able to see so many opening days or opening nights, if you will. These rivalry games to start the season are really, really fun. They're intense. They're energetic. The anticipation, 24 to 36 hours before kickoff, the sauce starts to bubble. And it just like you could feel it. You just can't wait to kick off.
Coming from an Italian, the sauce starts to bubble. Earlier in the show, I had a fly in my soup. What is wrong with you today?
Well, bubbling sauce is a good lunchtime, you know, picture.
Okay.
Anyway.
Go ahead. You finish your thought.
I was only going to say this. There's not that there's ever an excuse not to be jacked up and pumped up for opening day, because there is none at all. But when you have a division rival on opening day, it just takes it. It's almost like a playoff game. It takes it to a whole new level. It really does. And I've been to enough of these games on the sideline. Giants, Dallas, Giants, Redskins, Giants, Eagles to open the season. It just, your veins want to pop out like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, I'm not big on a division opponent right off the bat. I'm really not. You know, what I find intriguing about the Dallas Cowboys is, yes, there's some question marks about their defense. But I feel that there is somewhat of an arrogance in regard to their offensive line, that they're pretty much saying, yeah, we're going to roll with Joseph Randle and Darren McFadden.
Let's see.
You know what I mean? And I think the reason that they were not aggressive in bringing in maybe a better talent in that backfield, and again, jury's still out on Joseph Randle, okay? Reports are he's going to get anywhere between 12 to 15 carries a game, and that's the start off. Can Darren McFadden stay healthy? We know he wasn't able to do that in Oakland, but has any of these guys ever played behind an offensive line like this? I think that the Dallas Cowboys offensively are just so banking on that offensive line that they feel they could put anybody in that backfield and they can have success. So that's the most intriguing storyline for me.
Broncos mentality.
Is the Giants defensive line, is the Giants defense, you know, who's going to win, you know, in the trenches? I think right now, based on the fact that a lot of people feel Dallas has the best offensive line in the NFL, I'd say that more would feel that the Cowboys do. But how much is that going to be a factor in this game on Sunday night?
I need to ask you then. So you don't like having the first game against a rival? I mean, because you admit the buzz, but you just don't like it.
I don't, because I think it takes a good 2 to 3 weeks of the first of the start of the season to really for these guys to get their legs underneath them. I don't think with the new collective bargaining agreement and the lack of two-a-days and practices, and I think it takes a good 2 to 3 weeks for these guys to really start playing football, tackling well. I'd rather not see teams play their division opponents until after week three.
Because more polished football comes later on.
That's fair. And that's just my opinion.
And that's fair. And I'm on board actually with the logic of what you're saying. All I'm telling you is that the emotions and the anticipation going into that first game reach an all-time high when it's a rival. But I would agree with Anita that the quality of ball in a rivalry game is better later on in the year. I absolutely agree with that.
201-939-4513. Let's go to, is it UC? UC?
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that properly?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about two players, Mark Herslick and Adrian Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't shown anything when given the opportunity. And the reason I say Mark Herslick is because his play recognition and lack of speed sucks. I'm sorry. I know you're probably friends with that guy.
I'll tell you what. We're going to let you go, but here's what I will tell you. Mark Herslick is one of the best special teams players on this roster. Now, one of the things that Tom Coughlin's going to have to determine, and Anita, we've heard this, 5 trillion times over the course of Tom's career, is that if you're a backup on the depth chart, you better give him something on special teams.
Right.
And that is clearly one of the reasons why Mark Herslick is still here, because he is one of their best special teams guys. And so the judgment's going to be made, as it has been in each and every year of his career. How much does he give you on specials, and where does that weigh compared to what he can give you in the regular defense when he gets in the lineup when necessary? To this point, the balance has been the special teams component is worth too much to give up. And that's going to be the equation again this year. Tom has to figure out, is Herslick's special teams component worth keeping him on this team? That's the question. So you can't tell me that Mark Herslick's done nothing for this team when special teams is one-third of the game, and he's really, really good at that. So I won't accept your statement. Adrian Robinson, for a variety of reasons, his contributions have been limited. Again, they've got to decide, what can he do for this team compared to guys like Cunningham or maybe somebody who else might be on the waiver wire?
One thing that I felt, because there's so many issues on this offensive line, that it would be a blocking tight end this season is more valuable to this team and
agreed.
This offense.
Agreed.
Okay.
100%.
And therefore, that would be Fells.
I think Fells will make the 53. Right. I do believe that. And
who,
I think
who's the starting quarterback first series against – I mean, who's the starting tight end first series against the Dallas Cowboys?
I'd like to establish the run. So I'd put Fells out there at the beginning because I'd want to start hitting Dallas off with a few punches in the mouth with some strong running game action to try to get things going right away and say, hey, we're going to make a statement by taking it to you on the ground first. And then try to start throwing it. You want to wing it. I know. You just want to throw it.
That's not true.
No?
No.
You with me on this one?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Let's go to Gary in Philly. Gary.
I don't know if they can, by the way. I'd just like to try.
Gary, Gary, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm calling from Philly, but I grew up 10 minutes in the Meadowlands. So I don't really think I'm an Eagle fan. My question is, I just saw over the wire the punting situation. The Weatherford being cut and bringing in this gentleman, obviously I know about Weatherford. Why did this happen? Did he have that bit of a year last year, or injuries, or any reason why?
We've discussed the fact that Tom Coughlin thought that the production was not at a level that he wanted it to be, and he had told us that Malone and Weatherford were in a competition for the last couple of weeks. And so, clearly, in Tom's mind, the level of punting was not there. And it's just that simple. You know, it's just that simple. Now, I will tell you this, all right? Dominic Hickson, our dear friend and former wide receiver here, has just put out a tweet for all of you Steve Weatherford fans. And he's a heck of a guy. Everybody likes him. How could you not? He's a really, really good guy. Does a ton of things for charity and has been a credit to the Giants organization. And, hey, what was it? The Coughlin corner kicks in the Super Bowl that helped beat the Patriots in the 2011 season. No one will ever forget. Or ignore what he had done for the franchise during his time here. But here's Dominic Hickson saying, getting cut was one of the best things to ever happen to me. Got cut from Denver, won a Super Bowl with the Giants in the same year. So I will personally say, Steve Weatherford, thanks for what you did here. It was great to cover you. It was great to watch you. Thought you made some great contributions. And I certainly wish him the best of luck. And I hope he catches on. I really do.
Something about the gentleman that they did sign. He's from Pittsburgh? Is that where he was?
That is correct. The gentleman that they just traded for was from the Steelers.
And
he's a young fella from LSU, a couple of years in the league. This will be his second year, I believe. Was in the league last year. He's got decent numbers. You know, nothing, you know, I mean, he's not kicking 50 yards a punt now, okay? but he's a quality, established NFL punter who has a resume. Young guy, and he's an Australian, and he's a lefty. How about that? He's a lefty.
That's good. That's good. It might create more fumbles.
Never know. Thanks for the call.
All right.
By the way, Unca's getting a lot of love on Twitter, by the way. There's a lot of Giants fans that are really hoping that he makes this team. Just FYI.
Well, Anita, how could you not want him to make the team after hearing his story? I mean, seriously, any human being that would just sit there and listen to him has got to be pulling for him.
Well, I'm sure they are, but Paul, if he didn't perform like he did in this preseason, as much as you love this guy's story, I'm sure that there wouldn't be so many Giants fans clamoring for him to make the team. I think it's a double whammy. I think it's what he did in this preseason, and also I think it's a storyline. I think it's combined. Let's go to line two. Lynn is calling in from Maryland. Lynn's been on edge, Paul. I have to warn you. I know this is your first show this week, but Lynn, you got to walk Lynn off the ledge. He's had a rough week.
Paul told
week.
Me that
really?
Last year
yeah.
After the Indianapolis preseason game, get off the ledge. And
I think
Paul,
I made you very upset.
You, we were 6-10 last year. Hi, listen. Thank you to Steve Weatherford. Nice job. You know he's a top 40 kicker. He'll be back in this week. And he's a good guy on top of that. Again, thanks, Steve Weatherford. Nice win last night. Hey, better to win than lose. Build a little momentum. played pretty well. Paul, I enjoyed your sideline snippets.
Thank you.
Always worth a listen. It's always a good listen when you've got that little those little snippets going. So I take it the trade for the punt has been confirmed, for the punter, excuse me, has been confirmed as a conditional seventh-round pick. Was that?
That is correct. That is correct. And interesting because last year, you remember when the Giants traded McManus, the kicker, to Denver, they got was a conditional seventh-round pick that was involved in that deal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, two ways to look at this. Next April, when we're sitting down there and we're breaking down this draft, our seventh-round pick was Brad Wing.
Yes.
Or we can look at it another way, which is what I was trying to get through the last time we talked, Anita. We only got six picks left out of the seven.
Yeah, but hold on, hold on.
Land.
Oh, no, before you even go there.
Oh, he went there. He went there yesterday.
Wait a minute. Let me make this one point.
Let me make this one point. You need to hear what Lynn wants to do with this team. Lynn is playing general manager, and it's...
Yeah. And I think I'd be pretty good at it. But listen, let me make this one point. New England had 11 draft picks this year.
Yes.
Coming off the Super Bowl. Seattle had 8. Green Bay had 8. NFC championship game, Green Bay, Seattle. We had 6 coming off 6-10. My feeling is, as a general manager, you can do more with more. Hey, Anita, one more thing, in all levity. And, you know, I like your reporting. I always look forward to listening to you. Based on yesterday's conversation, next Tuesday morning, Monday morning, after the Dallas game, let's trade Amondre Williams for a 4. I'll take it now. Let's build some draft picks for next year. Let's go, Giants. We'll talk next week. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
He wants to trade Andre Williams. Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. I know.
I'm speechless.
Obviously, there's awkward silence right now on the program, Paul.
Really? Andre Williams, you want to trade Andre Williams? All right. Here's what I will do. I'm going to give you one response to the earlier part of your statement, Len. You're telling me the Giants only have 6 draft picks last year, and I'm telling you, how do you know how many draft picks they're going to have next year? There's a lot of months in between the calendar years then and now. They might make a trade tomorrow and acquire a pick. They might make a trade today and acquire a couple of picks. They might make a trade in the offseason and acquire picks. They might get some compensatory picks based on the free agent computations. Don't assume right now that in May of 2016, the Giants will only have 6 draft picks. How do you know that? You don't. And if you do, give me tomorrow's New York lottery numbers. I'd love to have them. Please, let's go to the next call.
Yeah, let's end strong. 201-939-4513. We go to Brian in New Jersey. Brian, you're last up.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'll be gentle on you.
Okay. Don't be gentle on us. Just be good.
Come on, bring it, man. Let's go.
I'll bring it. Well, yeah, I mean, I just to the last call, not to disparage him, but.
He's a good guy, but you can't play fortune teller.
Andre Williams may be our starting running back in about 3 weeks.
Andre Williams is a very, very big part of this team's plans.
Trust me when I tell you that. He's made the step up. You know, he's worked on his game. He's going to be with the Giants a long time. Knock on wood, he has his health. He's a very, very, very bright man. Very intelligent. Handles himself well. And he was built to play football.
Absolutely.
What else could you ask for in a draft choice?
That's an understatement.
I think he
actually
may be a steal if a couple things go right. We do a couple things with our offensive line. Hopefully, I'm a big believer in Schwartz. I think he's got a lot of talent. He's got to stay on the field, as a lot of Giants have to. But I think if he solidifies that right side, we're going to be able to run the ball a little bit, and then we'll allow Eli to do what he does best, which is get the ball downfield. My other thought is, just in watching the game last night, is, and just tell me if I'm wrong, but I really think that our third-round pick, I can't say his name, I get it wrong every time.
Owa Odigizua.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Paul loves saying
he may be a starting end, maybe midway through the season.
that might be rushing the learning curve a little bit.
I know. I'm
think
pushing it.
Let's just give him, okay, part of the playbook. Let him be in the rotation. Let him have certain packages, and let him go out there and kick butt in those packages, because sometimes less is more. And it might be in this case that this guy can really make an impact if they just give him a certain select few parts of the playbook.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm just very excited about him because I see what he's doing. He's holding the edge. He's just a natural at it.
Just remember this. When Strahan came in, although he had the broken foot, you know, it took time to acclimate him. Tuck, he watched for a while. OC, he watched for a while. Mm-hmm. JPP, his first year, he watched a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it usually works. So if he plays X number of plays and gives you, you know, five big plays, four sacks, a couple of forced fumbles, whatever his stat line turns out to be, the only thing that I would say that you want to ask from him on a reasonable level of expectation is when he's in there, however many plays it is, when he's in there, does he have a positive impact on the defense? If he does that, then I don't think you can be too greedy and say, give me more. I think you have to be a little bit patient here.
No, you're right. No, I agree with everything you're saying. It's just he's the strides that he's making. I'm just watching just from the first.
He's fun to watch.
He's fun to watch.
I agree.
I don't want the Dallas Cowboys to run 200 yards on us.
I got you.
Because of our run defense. And I think that would be – I think we're going to have a good – I'm a positive guy. I think we're going to have a good season. But I think the run defense, hopefully we can find the right elixir, for lack of a better word.
I love it. That's my favorite. That's my favorite word in the dictionary, by the way.
It's a really good one. Yeah.
I looked it up before I called to make sure I knew what it meant.
It's hands down my favorite word. And any opportunity I have to use it, I slide it in there.
When I used to write a lot for a daily newspaper here in Jersey, I always tried to find ways to sneak that in somehow. It was one
you
of
like
my
that?
Favorite words as a writer. Not so much as an announcer, but as a writer it was.
Well, I promise I'll keep calling because I'm a bit of a wordsmith and I like to...
There you go.
About how much I know.
Good stuff. Thank you, man.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
All right, I'll see you later. Bye.
Solid call. Really appreciate it. This is from EZE. Again, 2015 MVP. I'd take a third or fourth pick all day for Williams. It's not like he's coming off a 1,500-yard season. No, he's not. But I do believe, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, Paul. I think the Giants are looking at him as the future of the backfield for this organization.
How could you not? How could you not? When you see his skill set and then you see his willingness to learn and you see his development in terms of retaining football knowledge and the instincts that he has, what is there on the downside? What is there not to like about Andre Williams? Well, maybe he didn't catch the ball a whole lot in Boston College. Well, now he's trying to fix that. And Anita, I know you just did a spot with him about his flashing glasses.
I did. If you missed it, I think it aired on.
Did it?
I think so. I think it aired on the training camp live show.
If it didn't, it's probably on the website.
Yeah, I believe it's on the website. Neely, do we know thumbs up, thumbs down the spot with
Andre Williams?
Andre Williams and his goggles. Well, if it's not, it will be there soon. I highly recommend you check it out. It's really cool. He's got these Nike goggles that are strobe lights. Inside the goggles, it's a strobe light, and so what happens is it blinds him every other second. And so every day he works like 30 to 45 minutes with his trainer who she's throwing passes to him while the strobe light is going on. And so he has to it helps with your eye-hand coordination in regard to passing, catching footballs. And then she goes to blue and pink racquetballs. And she starts with the pink. It's a lot easier to detect the pink ball, but then she goes to the blue ball with the strobe light. I put them on. I actually tried to do it.
How'd you do?
I did okay. Again, the blue racquetball really threw me for a loop.
Wow.
So, but anyway, it's a really fun piece. It kind of gives you an inside look in how Andre Williams has been training this season. It's really cool. Keep an eye. Hopefully it pops up on Giants.com sometime soon.
That's not a guy I want to trade.
No.
Sorry.
No, it's not. All right. So, obviously, this is the last show on Big Blue Kickoff Live before you guys are back on Monday. Are you back on Monday?
No idea what our schedule is yet in terms of the rotation. We don't know what our lineup is other than the show's coming back.
Right. which is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
So Paul, final thoughts is obviously the next 24 plus hours, some big decisions for this organization to make. And next time you are on Big Blue Kickoff Live, the 53-man roster will be complete. So final thoughts before we do log off and we send everybody on their merry way for Labor Day weekend.
I just say this, folks. Again, be very, very careful as you go through the transaction lists and get a look at all the other players that are released from other teams. Make special note as to guys who are waived, who have to go through the waiver process and be claimed, or guys who are cut and released, which means they are unrestricted free agents and can sign immediately and therefore would be eligible or in play if the Giants wanted to give them a call right away. Think about those things as you try to look for names that you might be interested in, because if you don't, you may get confused as to who and who's really available to the team.
And stay on top of Giants.com with all the information that will be released on Saturday, 4 o'clock, right?
That's
4
right.
4 o'clock, final cuts, and that will be an interesting afternoon, of course, leading into Sunday. So for all of us here at the Giants facility and the Giants organization, we're wishing everybody a very safe and fun Labor Day weekend, and we'll be back with Big Blue Kickoff Live on Monday, high noon, right here on Giants.com.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.